Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, let your roots, I'm reading the New Living Translation, verse 7 to 9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9. Let your roots, if I can have a different background here, this I can't read this one. Okay, let me read from it. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on who? Church, on who? On the law of Moses? Eh? Who wrote this Bible? So what is he talking, telling you and me? We need to build our lives on who? Why him? Because it's the only foundation God has laid. You can't build your life on anything else. Your faith, your Christian life, coming to church, your worship, your singing, everything. Your life, in totality of my life and totality of your life, totality of your knowledge and everything has to be built on him. God has no other foundation. If you build it on yourself, it's quicksand. You build it on any other thing, it's quicksand. The devil kicks it will come down. But we sing it, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds. Now, if I'm supposed to build my life on him, where will my focus be? Huh? Which one is the most important part of the building? Is it the foundation or the one up? Your life to build on him, then your faith will grow strong in the truth. In this truth we are going through. Because in the truth you were taught. You were taught. And you will overflow now with what? Thankfulness, because there's going to be the experiential part of this truth. The truth that we're being taught, the Bible says we should continue. If Jesus said, if you continue in them, then you know them. That calls for patience. That calls for patience. That means you have to continue patiently in this thing. It's not McDonald's thing. Teach me this topic, move to another one quickly. No, God doesn't recommend that. God doesn't recommend that. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says faith and patience work together. Jesus said, if you continue in this, which means it's not overnight something. That's why many Christians do not experience these truths. Because they want to rush McDonald's. Give me from the window. God doesn't give from the window. God is a God of patience. If you ever walk with God, you realize he's very, very patient. You want him to do this thing overnight. It hasn't even started. And so that's why in studying these things, we need to patiently, painstakingly go through these things. Go through these things. Jesus said, if you continue in it, then you know it. You don't know it. If I come, I have not continued now. I've just come. So I have to continue now. Jesus said, if you don't continue, you won't know. And I want to tell you, brethren, that a lot of people who are believers, see these truths we are sharing, is foreign to them. They don't even understand it. Don't appreciate it. They don't live in it. I want to ask us, is there anything else God gave us to live by except what Jesus brought us? I'm asking. And number two, the reason that you must be grounded in these things is because the devil will challenge you. Viciously challenge you. I'm not scaring you, I'm telling you the truth. And so in Matthew 13, verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer. We were talking about this the last Thursday, about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Brethren, if you don't understand it, is it not what Jesus is saying? If you continue in the word, then you begin to understand it. So the solution to understanding it is to continue. What verse is that? Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their heart because they don't understand it. They don't understand it. Can I ask you a question? Why is the devil interested in that seed? That he comes, you know, snatching is take it from you by force. Why is he interested in it? Huh? That's the only thing that produces fruit. Without a seed, there's no fruit. Brethren, you can't walk here. Any day you come here, you are wondering, they say, what are you looking for? I say, I'm looking for fruit. We will call intervention immediately. You can't harvest where you did not sow. There is no fruit without seed. Church. And that's why the body of Christ has not really understood. Because they think that this is what you do by cultivating. No. The key thing that brings out the fruit that produces that is the seed. Is the seed. Not your human effort in the field. It helps, but without the seed, you take your hoe and there's no seed. You are doing this in the land. There's no seed. How will this fruit of healing come? How will the fruit of faith, victory come? How will the fruit of the new life show? Patience, love, how does it show? When the seed is not there. So you see why it's important for us to patiently make sure that this seed is properly what? So there's no hurry. Whatever is worth doing, is worth doing what? So, it says, the seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes because he knows they're not patient. They don't want to study it and took the thing away. Verse 20. The seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. They dance. Very excited. How was the Bible study? Oh, it was awesome. Man! With joy. 21. But since they don't have deep what? Roots. How do you grow deep roots? Continue to water it. Continue to water it. You don't get healed because you hear by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. You got to have root in that thing. You got to have root in that thing. You don't live the Christian life of new life, the spirit life, simply because you had it in Sunday school once. No, you got to have root in it. And to have root takes time. He said, but since they don't have roots, deep roots, they don't last long. They will fall away as soon as they have problems. As soon as problems, what? He said, this just doesn't work. They may not say it, but they think it. And that's how they end up. Because as a man thinks, Then start looking for solution from New York and everywhere. Because he has given up on the seed. Since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The devil will persecute Christians for believing the truth. King James Version says, when problem arises because of that word, the reason it arises is because of that word. Verse 22 says, the seed that fell among the tongues represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Again, they don't have time to continue. No patience to continue in this. They had it today, tomorrow you don't see them again, and then you don't see them again, and then you don't see them again. You don't see them again. Then they come, it's hiccough. No consistency whatsoever. So, we're going to understand the importance of patiently studying the scripture. Patiently studying the scripture. You're going to understand that without patience, no, it's not going to work. I'm sorry, it's not an overnight something. The Christian character that Jesus gave us, the new life, it's not an overnight something. Because the devil will challenge it. People will come and provoke you. But if you continue, it will rot, the deep way, the root will what? Go deep. So when they shake it, it's taproted now. Right there. Do nothing. It's right there. The seed is produced taproted stuff. So let's recap some things. The threefold salvation of spirit, soul, and what? Body. Do we agree? We're saved, spirit, soul, body. What did I say? We're saved what? Always remember that you have been redeemed from head to toe. There's no part of you that Christ did not redeem. When Israel left Egypt, they said to Pharaoh, we're not leaving anything behind. People say that the Christian soul is not saved. I used to believe that. I found that's not true. Because if my body belongs to Christ, the mind of my body also belongs to who? Christ. How can my body belongs to Christ and my soul belongs to Satan? It's not possible. So we are saved, spirit, soul, and what? But let's say it together. Saved what? And we talked about how the scripture talks about the important thing now is to preserve it. Now, in Ezekiel 18 verse 4, God says something there. Say, behold, all souls are what? Come on now. All souls are what? Are mine. I'm reading King James Version. Behold, all souls are what? Mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. Now he said, so but the soul that sin it shall die. What's the talking about is that all souls belong to me, but sins will separate you. So when man, remember he said this thing before Jesus came. So when Jesus came, he brought back to God everything that is his. He said, give to Caesar what is what, and give to God. So if all souls belong to God, Jesus, when he came, restored our souls to him. So your soul is saved. Your body belongs to God. Your soul belongs to God. Your spirit belongs to God from head to toe. Why? Because God created it. God made you. Spirit, soul, and body, God created you. You are God's creation. That's why he said all souls are mine, because I created them now. So when Jesus came, he said to them, okay, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but return to God. And God says all souls. So when Jesus came, he restored us to God, spirit, soul, and body. Everything. Because all souls belong to him. Everything. You may not use what God has given you. That's a different point. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I read some scripture that talks about, the sincere word of God, which is able to save your soul. Yes, what it means is not that your soul is not saved, is that it preserves your soul from corruption. It preserves it from what? Corruption. And then we read scripture that says that he said, take heed unto the doctrine, to yourself and the doctrine. He said, by doing so, you shall both save yourself and those who hear you. So he's not talking about salvation in terms of, he was talking to leaders and Christians. What he's saying, by taking heed unto the, you preserve yourself from corruption. Like he said, deliver yourself from this untoward generation. You preserve your soul, preserve yourself from corruption that's around you. And that's why the Bible talks about preservation of the spirit, soul, and body. So the word save they are using there is so that you preserve it from corruption. Because all around us is wrong doctrine, is false doctrine, is all manner of things that people are betting out there. The devil is betting out all of that. But if you don't give yourself to the sincere milk of the word, your soul will be corrupted. And another scripture says, guard your heart with what? All diligence. That's what it's saying. So, threefold salvation. Let's go through that again. Spirit. So, let's go through that again. Let's go through that again. Let's now be louder. Come on. So when you wake up and pray, you thank God. You say, you redeem, you set me free. My spirit, soul, and body is free. No part of me belongs to Satan. Belongs to you. Even when you develop, when you get grounded in this truth alone, you can win spiritual battles easily. Very, very easily. The word of God is so simple. Because people who operated this thing were illiterates, didn't go to school. Even this alone, you can start. If it's rooted in you, you can kick the devil, kick him out. Say, this, my spirit, soul, and body, don't touch it. You'll be in return to God. You cannot touch it. And you're going to touch it. Is it not what Jesus said? If you continue in my word, then you know the truth, and the truth will now be free. Keep you free. The reason that we say things and it doesn't really have effect is that it's not rooted. It's not coming from deep down us. It's coming from simple mental accent that doesn't amount to a pack of beans. So let's go to sixfold redemptive blessings that we have. Number one is what? Redeemed from sin and its penalties. Number one is what? Redeemed from sin and what? I didn't hear you. redeemed from sin and what? And then we say that our redemption from sin is the new nature that held us captive. We had the old nature, is the nature of sin. So there was no way a man could change that nature. So we're trapped in the nature of sin. And then Christ came and created us new. And then that old nature was crucified. And we rose with him in newness of life. So he cut off that old nature. Now, I don't know how many people who, when they pray, worship God for being new creature. We delve into the one of prosperity, but this one is the key one. You worship God for being a new creature. You declare it openly. Lord, I want to give you praise for making me a new creature, that my old sinful nature has been crucified. And then you continue in this, it begins to be rooted in you. Begins to be rooted in you. So we are free from the control of sin. And that's why the scripture says, sin shall not have dominion. And he gave the reason. Why? Because you're under grace, not under the law. Why? Because it's under grace that you have new nature. The law didn't give us new nature. It's grace that gave us new nature. The law did not crucify the body of sin. It's under grace that Jesus came and crucified it. He brought us grace. The law didn't do anything to that. He said, because you're under grace now, sin cannot dominate you. He said, don't you know that he that has died is finished with sin? Because you died, the old nature is gone. You have a new nature. If you have a new nature, say amen. And the penalties of sin, Isaiah 53 verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of all of us. So like was shown on Sunday, that God laid on Christ, the sacrificial lamb of God, all my iniquities. All of it was laid on him. He carried it. And so I cannot, the consequences of sin is over for me. Because God laid on him all my iniquities. All of it. In verse 10 of Isaiah 53, verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. I think I'm reading King James Version here. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? For sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. See, he shall bear their iniquity. He shall what? Bear their iniquity, because God laid it on him. God laid it on him. That's why you can't come to God bragging about your righteousness. The Bible says, it says, if you come and say, I have no sin, say you're a liar. There's no truth in you. There's no truth in you at all. And you're making God a liar. We come in humility, acknowledging our sinfulness. If you acknowledge your sins, that scripture didn't say, if you acknowledge your sin. It says sins, which means if you acknowledge your sinfulness, the sinful things you do, many, there are some you don't even remember. If you acknowledge your sins, if you come before him, pleading the blood and say, Lord, I don't come in any of my righteousness. I come seeking your mercy. He said, the blood of Jesus with what? Cleanse your fallen righteousness. Then we are redeemed from death and hell. Again, because Jesus bore our iniquities, we are redeemed from death and hell. Completely redeemed from death and hell. Death is separation from God. Death is the spiritual death of separation from God. We are totally redeemed from that. We are redeemed from hell. You are not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Because Jesus said, anybody that believes in me, even if he dies, he shall what? Rise again. He's not going to hell. Death can't, grave can't even hold him. Then we are redeemed from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. Is there? Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that? Now, let's even make some distinctions here. Anything that kills, steals, and what? It's not from the kingdom of God. That's the ministry of Satan defined. God told somebody, he said, if you know this, he said, you will fight off devil all the time. He said, anything that kills your life, steals your life, and destroys, he said, that's Satan. You should fight it and resist it. It's not me. He said, but I came to give you life, not to kill it, not to destroy your life. But if you know this, you can now very easily know when the devil operates and hits. You say, this is stealing something from you. It's not God. That's the devil. You should rise up and say, no, you're not stealing from me. Fight him off. So we've been redeemed from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of his dear son. But we should learn to resist the devil. We should learn to fight him off. And we flee. But when he comes with his ministry and we accept it as from God, we are toast. Because what things ever you allow is what? Allow for you. It is our job to disallow. It is, again, when this word is not understood, when it's not understood, then my people are destroyed for all of knowledge. When it's not understood, the devil comes and deceives you. Say, it's God. This is God now. Does it kill? Yeah. So how can it be God? Does it steal from me? How can it be God? Does it destroy things in my life? How can it be God? The thief cometh, but to steal? Kill? Let's go through that. Cometh, but to what? So if it steals from you, is it God? That's the thief. If it kills, is it God? That's the thief. If it destroys, is it God? That's the thief. Do you need any further dictionary to know these things? It's very simple to know. Then we are redeemed from sickness and disease. Jesus bore it for me. Now, you see the scriptures that says in Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17. I want you to see what I want to show you here. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took what? And bore our what? What does it mean to bear? Carried. So when God laid on him the iniquities of all of us, he carried the consequences too. The Bible says he bore it, which means he was laid on him. When God laid on him the iniquity of all of us, he also carried the what? Or are you looking at me? He carried what? Including sickness. The Bible says he bore it. How do I demonstrate bearing? To bear. Nah, I'm not carrying anything, my friend. I see that you come and carry it. I wanted to lift this one. So you see. Okay, let's think about it. Because the Lord was showing me this. He said, it's amazing. He said to me, do you know what it means that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed? He said, you people don't even understand it. He said, everything he suffered on the cross was because of sin. And if sin is taken care of, all the consequences wiped out. All of it wiped out, including sickness. All of it wiped out. Everything he suffered on the cross was to bear our sin. And then with that goes bearing the sin, then bore all the consequences for me. Which means my sicknesses was, he bore all my sicknesses. With bearing the iniquity, he bore the consequences of it. Am I communicating here? Do you get what I'm saying? So by his stripes you were healed. means that all those things he suffered on the cross, all that sacrificial activity was as a result of my sin. The Bible said because of my sin, he bore this grief. So, because he bore my sins, God laid it on him, then sicknesses and all these things that are results of sin, also he bore at the same time. Because he can't bear my sin and I carry the consequence. He bore it and bore the consequence. So let's read that Matthew and see if we'll get it. This is Matthew chapter 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, what did Isaiah say? He himself took and... Now let's see, let's hear from Isaiah himself. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne, you see, our griefs. Surely, not whether he will, surely, surely. What did the Bible say? Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. All your grief, all your pain, everything that causes sorrow and pain and this. He said, surely, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. And we just talk, he died, was afflicted. He said, but the thing that happened there, that's what he said. We did esteem him smitten. Yeah, but the real deal there is that surely he carried my sorrows, carried my pain. The next verse. What did he do in the next verse? Yeah. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our what? Transgression. You know? Stripes. Was wounded by stripes. He was bruised for our what? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with all the stripes, that's all these bruises and wounds and this, was because of our iniquity. So by the stripes of all these wounds, bruises, stripes that our sin brought on him, it also brought us healing because our sickness was laid on him. He bore it too. So he bore the sin and bore the sickness and bore all the consequences of sin. Now, Jesus said, if you continue in this truth, you are going to have a revelation of it. Then it starts working. When you say it, you're not going to say it mentally. It's going to come from your spirit. And it's going to be rooted. Going to be rooted. And when it's rooted and you say it, you're not going to be asking whether it's working or not. That's not working doesn't even arise. Because you know that this is true. Am I a man? Huh? You are not sure. Have you been confused too? Am I not a man? Will it ever arise in your heart whether I'm a man or not? Why? Because you know I'm a man. So how can it arise in your heart whether surely he bought these things until you know it will be arising whether it's no, because you don't know it for sure. When you come to realize that surely, certainly, the option of whether he did it or not doesn't arise anymore. That's doubt is gone. Faith takes its place. Faith stands. Because faith has no doubt in it. Faith has no doubt in it. And so see what Nahum prophesied. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. You know where Nahum is? Nahum is after Matthew. If you find it, let me see. Okay, thank God for Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. I think I'm reading New King James Version. The Lord is what? Good. Do we agree? I didn't hear you. Do we agree? If it's good, does it afflict you? The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. Can we say amen? He knows those who trust him. Now let's read, because I'm cutting it short now because of time. Verse 8. But with an overflowing flood, He will make an utter end of his place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. He's talking about demonic spirit, the kingdom of Satan here, because you are not his enemies. It's the devil that's his enemy. Once you see God talking about his enemy, it's not you. He told us, your enemy is not even flesh and blood. He said, it's the devil, it's not you. It's the devil. So, verse 9. What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Can we read the next line? Affliction shall what? Not rise a second time. Because affliction has risen before. Jesus was afflicted. So I'm going to make utter end of these enemies that are harassing you. Okay, you see that it's talking about the gospel. Let's continue. Let's continue. In verse 13. Let's read 13 together. One, two, go. For now, I will break off his yoke from what? And burst your bonds, what? Is it not what Jesus said? He said, yokes will be destroyed, shattered, freedom for everybody. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about those enemies. He said, the yoke he put on you, and those, he said, affliction shall not arise twice, because as I reasoned before. Again, let's read verse 13. I mean, verse 15. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of whom? Who brings what? What is the good tidings? The gospel. Continue. Who proclaims peace? O Judah, keep your appointed feast. Perform your vows. For the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Is it not what the scripture says? That Jesus made a public show of them and displayed them openly, utterly cut off. Affliction shall not arise twice. We're done. God said, I'm going to deal with these spirits that are dealing with you. And he did it. He said, well, good news is coming. The feet of those who bring good news. And they're talking about the mountain of the Lord is the church. Can you tell your neighbor, affliction cannot arise twice? Then let's say amen to that. But you see, just saying it on a Bible study day doesn't make it work. You need to continue in this thing until you hit the gusha. Continue. Peter said, focus on it until it breaks through. All the junk, all the unbelief, all the failures of your life, it needs to break through all that hindrance. He said, when it breaks through, the light shines in your heart. Like a new day. That's what the church doesn't get. That we said it here doesn't mean it's working tomorrow. Because you can get out there and forget everything. I took time here because you know we're talking about sickness. Then we're reading from curses and failures. He became a curse for us. Amen. What's a curse? The opposite of blessing. That's the simplest definition. Is the opposite of what? Blessing. So if what I'm doing is not working in blessing, and then they told us how blessing works, the blessings of God make it rich and does not add. So when it's adding sorrow and not making it rich, it's a curse. It's not the blessing. It's a solemn utterance intended to invoke a supernatural power to afflict him or punishment on someone or something. Yeah. Because there's a curse on people who break the law of God. But Jesus came and became a curse for us. He took again, on him God laid all our iniquity and all the consequences. So he became a curse for us. Amen? I didn't hear that amen. He became a what? A curse for us. So what happens to us when he became a curse? You are not talking to me. Let me come here. What happened to us when he became a curse? You are not talking to me. You have a chance now. What happened to us when he became a curse? So it means the blessings of God make it what? Which means your health flourish. Whatever you lay your hands upon to do, flourish. Your character flourish. Your family flourish. The blessings of God make it rich. Is poverty blessing? Let me ask this side. They are jealous of you. Let me find out. Brethren, is poverty blessing? Because the blessing of God, he make it rich. So how can the devil convince you that poverty is making you humble and you agree with him? He comes in and you become his brother. In the morning, he says, bro, how are you? Bros, how are you? Yeah, I'm doing okay. So you see, that poverty is making you humble. The Lord is teaching you a lesson. Remember, he's stealing from you and you're saying, take some more. I need to be more humble. Why shouldn't you steal everything? And God told you, he said, my blessing make it rich and does not add so. Doesn't answer. And Jesus took our place of sorrow. Listen, can we begin to believe the gospel now? Christians should believe the gospel. It's not coming to church and going home. We must believe the gospel from beginning to the end and live in it and confess it. We need to be grounded in the gospel. Brethren, we have nothing else to live by except the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Telling you the truth. I'm coming down here because you must get this one. You must get this one. Here. Cause. Then he took your place. My brother come. He's wearing red. So he's the one that took your place. Because he's wearing red. So here I was. Just stand over there. Here I was, cursed. Then he came with his blood and took my place so that I will take his place. Case closed. And the place I've taken is that all the blessings of God and the promises of blessing was his. He said, I take your place of poverty and curse. Come and take this place of glory that God gave me from the beginning. Come and take it and enjoy. All the things of my father belong. All my father has is mine. Come and enjoy it. It's yours now. But the man doesn't want to hear it. The man goes and says to him, that thing you said to me is not true because I need to be humble. The way I'm going to be humble is I need to come back here and replace you. Tell me what type of Christianity is that? A Christian that tells Jesus that's a liar. That belittles the cross. It's not glorifying Jesus. Thank you. Let me tell us something. God will not share his glory with you. It's either you take it, allow him the glory that is his, or you want to produce your own glory, he will leave you alone, and the devil will eat you like lunch. He took your place so that you take his place. Can I hear amen? I'm blessed in the morning, blessed in the afternoon, blessed in the evening. Blessed. If there's any other time, tell me. If I'm sleeping, because I took his place permanently. We were discussing identity. Man, Life Center yesterday, amazing. Don't miss it. I've been thinking what I would do, really, a general Sunday school on that topic. Amazing, because that's a major issue. The enemy is taking it to confuse people, confuse your identity. He will mock your Christianity, mock your faith, make you believe you are not a Christian, make you believe you don't. He will finish you that way. And I said, one of the main issues we have is that we think our identity is what we do. We don't understand that our identity is who we are, not what we do. And the devil will define you by what you. But God defines you by what Christ did. Brethren, am I a man? You are still confused. Am I a man? If I sit here, am I a man? If I go here, am I a man? If I come here and I fight him, what did they say? Two men fought. If I come here and carry, no, I don't want to carry. If I come here and I say this and then I go there and I do this, and they said there was one man. My identity doesn't change. Because of this, I'm still a man. Why? I was born a man. You were born in Christ and born righteous and born a child of God. That's what you are. Can I hear amen? But once you allow these things to change, you think you are what you do, your life begins to tilt towards that. The devil begins to change your heart. You begin to believe that this is who you are. As a man thinketh, he ends up being there. But if you believe what God said you are, the Spirit of God begins to work it out. Don't even know where I went. Praise the Lord. So you are not cursed because it became a curse for you. You are blessed in the morning, blessed in the afternoon, blessed in the evening. And when I mean bless, you bless not only material things, you are blessed spiritually too. You don't have the nature of Satan. That's a blessing. You don't have the nature of sin. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? If you are blessed, shout hallelujah. But you need to continue in this truth until it's grounded that you are blessed. So that when the enemy brings challenges that challenges the truth, you don't even have a chance to doubt whether you are blessed because you know it. It's so grounded. You're not even thinking about failure. You know, if you start talking with me, I start talking this garbage things that people talk. I tune off. I don't want you to infect me. Because the Bible says, guard your heart with what? Yeah, I tune off because it's my life. You're not going to infect me with all that kind of junk. When you start talking what God says about you in Christ, I open up. Say, yeah, that's true. I want more. I want to feed on it. You start bringing this thing that's from the kingdom of darkness to come and damp on my spirit, I'm not interested. Because the Bible says, evil communication. Yeah. Say, be careful how you hear. Then we have this new mindset that is not the mindset of darkness. Our soul is saved. Soul is saved. Ezekiel 11:19. Then I will give them one heart. And I will, let's read New King James Version. Ezekiel 11:19. Then I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit, what? Within them. That spirit, a new spirit within them. Okay? And take the stony, what? Heart out of their spirit. Church, out of their spirit? Talk to me now. Out of their spirit? So you distinguish the spirit and the flesh. Said, I'll give them a new spirit. I'll give them a new heart, a new soul. Your soul is different. Totally delivered. Your heart is not like when you were hidden. It's not the same thing at all. He said, I'm going to give them one heart and I put a new spirit within them. And then he differentiated this heart of stone they have. I'm taking it away and then giving them a new heart, which is a heart of what? Flesh. You tell me you have the same mind, the same soul. No. I receive something new. New spirit, a new heart of flesh. What is a heart of flesh? A heart that is alive, that can cooperate with my spirit. So we don't have the mindset of the hidden. Let's read it in Amplified. I will give them one heart and a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony, the unnaturally hardened heart of their flesh. Of their what? Flesh. of their flesh, differentiating it from the new spirit you have. I've told you, I say you are. Look, our salvation, spirit, soul, body, everything. Now, if you think your soul is not saved, you live in that domain. You live in that domain. My question is, when will now your soul be saved? Can somebody explain to me when? At what point? Tell me. When you know the whole Bible? At what point is your soul now saved now? Tell me, let me hear. My friend, your soul is saved. Jesus paid for it and restored you to the owner. He says he's the bishop of our soul. We went back to the bishop of our soul, the owner of our soul. We went back to him. All souls belong to him. God, Jesus brought us back to him. Now, if we do not continue in these things, like I said, we're not going to experience them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See what this place is saying. I'll close this with this. Next time we'll continue from here. See what this place is saying. He said, if you don't believe these things, it will profit you nothing. And that's what I said at the beginning. Don't mess up with the opportunity God gave you in this life. Don't mess it up. I'm begging you. Life is once. Every year that goes. Don't mess it up. Take it with both hands. Don't let the devil deceive you. This is the main deal. And so, what he's telling us is this. He said, if you don't accept this thing by faith, it will profit you nothing. All this thing we are talking about, you are blessed, you are this, you can sing all you want to, can dance all you want to. You step out, it's not going to work for you. He said, why? He said, because when you accept it, you enter into rest. Everybody say, enter into rest. Okay, fine. So what does it mean to enter into rest? It's to know that this work has been finished. You can't do anything to make it. Because sometimes when challenges come, we go to God, harassing God to produce what he has already done. And we accuse him of not being faithful. Because we don't believe the gospel. He said, they have to enter into rest because this work has been finished. If a work is finished, my brothers and sisters, what else do you need to do? Nothing. God says, I finished this thing. Enter into rest. It's already done. So I don't care what the devil is doing. I don't care what he's doing. You stand by faith, you have victory. It's already done. No panic, nothing. If God says, I bless you, he blessed you. And all you need to do is to stay in that rest and say, it's done. That's nothing. Sometimes we think, if I try to improve my character, then God will wake up and now bless me. What I'm saying is, this work has not been done. Not even done. So I'm trying to make God wake up and remember me. And we sing it, remember me. Remember me. The third time you are saying, remember me, and one angel will come and say, he remembered you in the day of your trouble. Is it not what the scripture said? He said, in the day of your trouble, I helped you. I gave you help. So the things he gave you, you've been teaching in your church. What are they? The work has been finished. Church, you are trying to be better. It's a waste of time. It was finished on the cross. And he took your place so you can come and enjoy. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. You think you do night vigil will make him do it? Already did it before you knew what naivety is. Is there? Which of them is not finished? Emeka. Which of them? Oh, Bobo ni everything. My wife doesn't know that one. Bobo ni. Emeka, you don't know Yoruba at all. I'm asking you, which of them is not finished? What did Jesus announce to the world? It is fully paid for. Brethren, you have prepared card. Prepared card. That you don't sleep is waste of time. If you don't enter that rest, God said you won't see it. You are not in faith. It won't work for you. It's your Bible. He said, he that believed had entered. Why? This work has been finished. Finished. That the enemy is pummeling you doesn't mean that Jesus didn't finish it. All you need to do is take your ground and say, this is finished. You're not changing me. I'm in rest. You can't wake me up in the night and harass me. I'm in rest. It's finished. It's mine. Praise the Lord. Do we agree? Huh? But what do? We panic, get anxious. We look for man of God. This man of God, what is he coming to do, really? Is he coming to Jesus of Nazareth? My brother, what is the man of God coming to do? Is he coming to make God do what God has already finished? Eh? Is he to replace Jesus? Tell me what the man of God you are looking for is coming to do. The sixfold blessings of redemption are already yours. So what is he coming to give you? Except take your money. Go to the mountain for you. Is he going to the mountain to do what? This is what people do. That's what they do. Let me tell you something, brethren. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. You see, even the genuine gifts of the Spirit does not replace the word of God. Because the Bible says that God has placed this word above his name. Don't replace the word of God. The just shall live by his faith. So you live by every word, not every gift. Not every gift. Not every gift. Not every gift. Every word. So if you want to live, you go study the word and eat the word. Eat the word. Not every gift.